Let's look to the Lord. Precious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for all your goodness unto us. Thank you for this camp meeting, this for back for the ones that got help. Lord, we just pray that you continue to be with ones throughout the services and talk to their hearts. Help us tonight, Lord, as we endeavor to bring forth this message. Lord, we just pray that you'd help us to bring forth what you'd have us to bring forth and help ones that are listening tonight. In Jesus' name we'll pray. Amen.
So you're looking at two of the biggest crybabies in the Church of God. So we'll see how far we get before either of us cry. It won't be very far, I promise. I want to start out by reading Jeremiah 29:11. Has that been read this week?
Yep.
Probably somewhere along the line. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. And then I like to read out of the kids' Bible because it makes things where I can understand them. And it says here, I say this because I know what I have planned for you, says the Lord. I have good plans for you. I don't plan to hurt you. I plan to give you hope and a good future. And that's what we want for you, a good future. So we're going to start by giving a little bit of our backgrounds. I'm a PK, preacher's kid. I grew up in a Church of God preacher's home. Our vacations were right here. Three times a year, we came to on vacation to God's Acres. And we spent, I remember when it used to start on Friday night, so it was more like 10 days. And we had a camper on the back of our truck, and this was our vacation. Of course, sometimes we took the scenic route. One time I remember we went clear up into Canada and came down through New York. My dad had a congregation in Missouri, and when I was 11, we moved and he started a congregation in Louisiana. So I grew up hearing the message of the Church of God. When I was a senior in high school, my dad resigned from being a pastor in Louisiana, and he became an over-the-road truck driver with my mom. And I had just graduated from high school in 1984. I have a younger sister that graduated the same year as I did, and we started to college, and mom and dad said, we're going on the road as truck drivers, and we're leaving you two girls to live here and take care of the house until you graduate from college. So I'm a college student in a house that my parents own, that they're paying for everything. They paid me to get the mail and to pay the bills, and basically they were paying me to do that, but they were giving me money. It was a great life for a young person that did not want to do church stuff anymore. You know what I'm saying? It was what I wanted to do. But it got old really fast. Because it's true what they say, teach a child the way they should go and they won't depart from it. You think of those things. I thought of those things a lot. And nothing I tried really made me happy. I graduated from college in March of 1989. I moved my family. We sold the house as soon as I graduated, sold the house, moved up to Missouri where my grandparent, or my only grandma, she was the only one alive, lived. I moved in with her. I came to June camp meeting because I used to love camp meeting. I thought, hey, I'll go to camp meeting. And I got saved. And I wanted to move here. I had already applied for teaching jobs in Missouri, but wasn't getting any answers. So I loaded up my little truck, and I moved to God's Acres in August of 1989. And that is the beginning of me on my road.
Well, unlike most of you, I did not grow up in the church. I grew up about 45 minutes southeast of here. Didn't go to church. I grew up on a farm. We didn't go to church. Didn't know much about anything. Although my grandfather lived in Springfield, he was a Baptist minister. We might go to church with them sometimes when we'd visit or something. But I was 18 years old, 1981, and my dad used to work with Brother Max Smith's dad, good friends with him and everything. And my grandfather got killed in a car wreck. I was 18 years old in April of 81, and Brother Gene came out and talked to my dad, And him and I went to church with him up here the next Sunday morning. And that's when my dad got saved. My mom come up the next Sunday and got saved. But I was ignorant to anything about church. I couldn't understand. My biggest thing was I would come to church here on Sunday mornings. I wouldn't come Sunday night or Wednesday night because it was too far to drive. I went to work the next morning. I didn't want to be out that late, although I'd set up and wait on mom and dad to come home and talk on the CB radio and stuff, you know. But I was real confused about different churches. You know, what made this church different from this one? And, you know, there were so many churches out here, and I didn't know anything about any of them. Well, finally, in November of 81, I know I'm telling my age here. I'm old. Brother Farmer was here from Canada holding a revival. And I come Friday night with Dad to the revival, and, you know, I got to talking to Dad about the differences in churches, and he told me, you know, how this was different and everything else. And I come back that next night, and couldn't tell you what Brother Farmer talked about or anything, but at the end of the service, Brother Decker was the chairman. And he kept talking to young people, and it was like he was just talking directly to me. And that's when I made my move and gave my heart to God. And this scripture, sometime around that time, this scripture came to me very clearly. Revelation, the second chapter, 21st chapter, second verse. And I, John, saw the whole holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And that showed me the church, how the church of God is different from all other churches. How all the other ones are man-made, where the church of God, God made it.
He cried first. All right, so that's our backgrounds, all right? So my date of salvation was June 24th or 25th, 1989. Tom got saved on November 21st, 1981. That is, our date of salvation is the starting point of the journey we want to talk about. Now, how many of you here, raise your hand, have used Google Maps or a map app or a GPS sometime in your life or been in a car with somebody using one? Pretty much. I mean, I told Katie the other day we were going to go to Dairy Isle, and I said, do you know how to get there? And she said, I'll put it in my map. I'm thinking, it's like a mile down the road. It's good to have those things, right? Tom and I, but we share this. We love to travel. I only have two states left to go to, Alaska and Hawaii. We probably won't be driving to those, at least one of them. But anyway, we love to travel. We use our GPS a lot. Okay, Google Maps on our phones. All right. So we have started. God brought this to me today, how this journey of life, we kind of depend on, we should depend on, God's Google Maps, right? When we get saved, we tell God, this is our final destination that we want to get to. Help me get there. What is that final destination? Heaven. All right? So whenever you start on a trip, most times we're sitting in our driveway and Tom will punch in the address to where we want to go, right? So when we get saved, we are determined to get to heaven. That's why we get saved, right? So we put that in our God's Google Maps and we say, God, I want to get to heaven. Help me get there, right? Okay, so we have an end destination. Now, any of you that's used Google Maps, you know sometimes we planned a big trip to Maine, New Hampshire, Rhode Island, all those, and there were questions that Google asked before I finalized the trip. For example, do you want to add any stops along the way? Do you want to add or avoid toll roads? Do you want to avoid road construction? So there's different ways that you can plan your route, right? But for the most part, Google Maps will take you the quickest way. So we depend on God to take us the quickest, easiest way. If we follow God's plan for our lives, it's going to be the easiest way. But we are human, and we forget that so much. Now, Tom and I have had this discussion before. Is there one perfect person for each one of us? Have you ever had that discussion with somebody? Raise your hand if you think there is one perfect person for you. Just one. Don't be scared. Whitney's down here, is it? We believe in our discussions of this that there's one perfect person for you. Now, if you stay on God's plan, then that's going to be perfect. And you're going to meet that perfect person because they're looking for their perfect person, and it's going to be perfect. Right? No, you guys don't believe that? Oh. Well, that's because sometimes we don't follow God's perfect plan, and somebody gets off track of God's perfect plan, and you don't end up with the perfect person. Now, this is what we've also discussed. So let's say that my perfect person, it is Brother Tom, by the way, but let's say that it wasn't Brother Tom, but it was this other guy, and then he got married, and what about me? Wait, that was my perfect person. God's not going to leave me hanging because my perfect person got off the perfect path. I'm still on the perfect path. Have you ever heard your GPS say, please turn around when possible, redirecting, please turn around when possible, rerouting, right? So sometimes we have those moments where we are being rerouted or someone else is being rerouted, because if my perfect guy married somebody else, then some other guy that can be perfect for me has to be rerouted my direction because my perfect guy got off the perfect path. Does that make perfect sense? Right? Everything's perfect. All right. So remember, we've entered our final destination in God's map app and we're on our way. Tom's on his road. I'm on my road, right? And at this point, we don't know each other whatsoever. Okay? We're just on our roads going to heaven because we ask God to lead us to that final destination, and we trust that He's going to lead us the best way for us. All right, so we're going along, and we've kind of told God what we want. God, I'd like a little stop along the way to get married. I'd like a little stop along the way to have a family. I'd like a little stop along the way to get a career that I enjoy. I'd like a little stop along the way to have a nice house, right? I'd like a little stops along the way where I can work for you. These are little things I'd like to have along my way, God, to my final destination, right? When we had our trip to Maine, I collect owls, so I found that there was an Owlhead's Lighthouse. And my husband went, 5 hours out of the way so that I could see the Owl's Head Lighthouse and get a t-shirt that said Owl's Head, just a little lighthouse. But he did that for me because he knew it was something I wanted. And that's what God does. If it's something that you desire that's good for you, He'll lead you that direction. You have to trust His plan, right? You ask Him to get you there. You have to trust His plan. All right. So there are things along the road, of course, to our final destination. This is an exciting way. You know, you're going along, let's say you're really on a trip, and some things are very exciting that you see. You see new stuff, you see new scenery, you see things you've never seen before. It's exciting. It's the same way with serving God. Going along to our final destination, all right? So we're trusting God's route until, are we there yet? Who's heard that? Are we there? I mean, seriously, we used to travel with the kids. Those are our kids over against the wall, just so you know. We used to travel with them at night. So they would fall asleep at the end of the street and wake up when we got where we were going. So we didn't have to hear a bazillion times, are we there yet? Because we get impatient. Guess what? Some of you might get impatient on this route. You might tell God, I told you I wanted to stop at marriage. Are we there yet? I told you. Are we there yet? Remember, God's perfect plan. Okay? So we're going along, but it seems like it's starting to take a little bit longer than we want it to take. Right, Brother Tom?
Sure. So I got to hear a little bit of the message last night, Sister Tammy talking about the puzzle pieces and Connor becoming 24, 25, and 26, 27. So I can apply that a little bit of that to my life. When I come to the church, I'd never had a girlfriend. It wasn't too terribly long till I met someone, but she was quite a bit younger. So I'm waiting. And after several years of waiting, things didn't work out. So I'm getting to be about 23, 24, 25 in there, wondering if I'm ever going to get married. Somebody else comes along thinking, you know, things start working out and everything. But along our way, you know, we have a lot of road signs, warning signs, red flags. And if we ignore those red flags and those warning signs, we're putting that puzzle piece, we're forcing it together, like they were talking about last night. It's not meant to be. And if we just keep ignoring those warning signs and so on and so forth, and do things our way, we end up in a bad way. So I ended up getting married when I was 27 years old. And yeah, legally the marriage was a year and a half, from January till the following June. But basically the marriage only lasted about 3 months. So the bad part of that is along the road we have toll roads. And when likened to toll roads, they're going to cost you money and so on and so forth. And I have a son that's soon to be 31 years old from that marriage. And the toll is my reaping. I've got a son that's lost. I wasn't able to raise him in the church. He doesn't know much about, he's been here some, but his understanding is far less than yours. So our tolls along the road are not only financial, but they're mental reaping, financial reaping, spiritual reaping. So like I say, that marriage lasted about a year and a half, and then we went on, and she can tell you the rest of the story.
So Brother Tom got himself on a road where he was, probably his GPS from God was saying turn around when possible. Right? You got off track a little bit. You need to turn around when possible. But now, Tom has put himself on a toll road. Heavy tolls. Sin comes with heavy tolls. You know, that the girl was saved. He was saved. But just because two people are saved doesn't mean you should get married. Right? He ignored the warning signs. He ignored the flashing lights. He ignored the bridge out ahead. Those things, you pay prices for those things, for ignoring those warning signs. So in the meantime, I am teaching school in Ohio. I'm going to revivals. One time we were going to revival, and some of us started singing on the bus, and we formed a little quartet on the bus. Brother Sam Fowler, Brother Steve Lewis, Sister Cindy Lewis, and myself. We used to go around and sing. I play the guitar. Brother Steve played the guitar. We sang. It was the thing we did. We went canvassing, visitation. I was very involved here in the work of God. We had a very close youth group at that time. We went out to eat a lot. We did a lot of things together. And I was very involved in the work of God, following my road, following my perfect path. God knew what I wanted. I wanted to make it to heaven on this perfect path. And my first recollection, no kidding, of Tom was the Sunday afternoon after the morning service of his wedding. I was there. And I was not sitting there thinking, that's my husband she's marrying. No, because I'm on the perfect road and I'm doing what God tells me to do, right? And I'm following the perfect path. That thought never crossed my mind. I was just being a young person, And I didn't really think I was panicking yet. I'm only 24, right? I'm not. There's nothing to panic about yet. However, I went back through some poems that I had written. And on December the 5th, 1989, I was 24 years old, and I wrote this poem. All right, I'm going to read it to you. The title of it was, Where Is He, God? I want to get married. That's my greatest desire. I'd wade through the flood, Lord. I'd walk through the fire. I'd suffer like Job with the stress I could cope. If there were only a chance, Lord, one faint little hope. But in all your great wisdom, you must have a plan for a young Christian girl to find the right man. So where is he, God? Just where could he be? Don't give him to her, Lord. I need him for me. Can't you see that I'm desperate? I need a man now. But I'll stay on my knees. You'll provide one somehow. While I wait on your guidance, Lord, give me the grace to keep my faith up in this man-hungry race. Desperate much? That was kind of scary when I went back and read it. So there may be moments that you panic. I mean, evidently, I thought I was never going to get married. There may be moments that you're in utter despair. There may be moments when you say, are we there yet? Seriously, are we there yet? Trust God's plan. If you ask God to get you somewhere, trust that he's going to get you there the best way possible. Right? All right. Now, God can only get us to our final destination safely if we stay on his plan and follow his route. Right? All right. So, Brother Tom told you his story. He didn't stay married very long. He had a little boy. I remember it was sometime in 1992-ish. I was standing in the aisle over kind of where we sit, and me and another young person, we were talking about where we were going to go eat after church, because that's what we did. We went to eat and we hung out together. And he walked by and he said, what are you talking about? Just like that. He's still kind of nosy like that. He ended up going out with us that night, started hanging out with us regularly. And after about 9 months of doing that, him going out with the whole group, he and I began to date. We still did our dating most of the time in the whole youth group. I mean, with the group that went out. We very seldom went out by ourselves. We dated for about a year, and then on July 4th, 1994, he asked me to marry him. He was 31. I was 29. That's way older than you guys. So don't panic yet. It took a minute. I heard Sister Tammy say last night, she didn't know it, but she was waiting on Brother Rodney to start coming to church. I didn't know it, but Tom got off track. And I had to wait for him to get back on the road, right? Oh, I honestly, in my heart, believe that Tom is the perfect guy for me. If you guys know us, I think you believe that too. I'm kind of high-strung, super whatever, everywhere, and he's just kind of, he's like my rock, my anchor. He's like, hey, you need to slow down. You need to let somebody else do something. Quit trying to do everything, right? Another good thing, though, in the fact that we fit together pretty good, we both love to work for God. And so after church, when he says, hey, there's a whole bunch of people to take home, I'm going to drive the bus, I don't say, that is so stupid. What am I going to do? What am I supposed to do while you go drive people home from church? That's dumb. You know? I'll say, hey, guess what? I needed to go do something for Sister Karen. I'll be in there. When you get back, let me know. You know? I'll go do this and I'll go do that. Find somebody. I mean, God's got that person for you that's going to be compatible, that's not going to sit in the car and honk the horn while you're running the sweeper in the church or cleaning the bathrooms in the church or giving somebody, you know, giving somebody a ride. God's got that person for you. Stay on the road, all right? So, Tom and I got married on October the 1st, 1994. And since we're likening this to a journey, let's talk about some of the people that influence us on our journey. I remember one time we were on a trip. We were in the middle of New York, the state of New York, driving on a toll road. And we stopped to pay the fare, And the lady in the toll booth, we had been talking about, people talk about New York pizza all the time, all right? So we thought it would be great to have an authentic New York-style pizza. So when we pull up to pay the fare, Tom asked the lady, hey, can you direct us to really good New York pizza? And it was this rinky-dink town that had about three streets, and she told us exactly where to go, and this little rundown pizza shop, and we had the absolute best pizza ever. She directed us on our route, right? Sometimes we ask people. Sometimes we need help. Sometimes we might need a little advice from somebody that knows the area, right? Kind of this is what you guys are getting this week. You're getting some advice from people that know the area. Been there, done that, right? I was 29. Don't panic. I was 29. So I think I have Sister Tammy beat even a little bit, don't I? I'm not sure. Oh, no? Oh, I should have waited a little longer, I guess. She was 30. You know, my parents warned me not to marry someone who is divorced, not to marry someone with a child. My parents told me not to. But I felt like, I mean, I was 29 years old, right? I would never advise you not to listen to your parents, especially if you're living with them. I was not. I was on my own. I was a career person. I had a job. I had been on my own for a long time, over 10 years. And that was my parents' advice. I took it, but I felt like I knew what God wanted me to do. All right? There comes a point when you're an adult and you listen to God. And you do what God tells you to do. And Tom's mom didn't want him to get married because he had just been hurt really, really bad. And when that happens, you don't want your kid to go through that again. She tried to dissuade him from marrying me. He felt like he was on the path. He felt like he was doing what God wanted him to do. I will tell you that in the end, both of our parents, my parents loved Tom. They accepted his son as their grandson. He was always part of the family. We went there for Christmases and Thanksgivings, and Tom's mom eventually came around. She did very willingly, and we had a good relationship with all of them. When they saw what we saw, we were on the path that God had directed us to be on. We're still on this path. We're together on this path now. I've joined Tom in his vehicle. We're on a toll road. Yes, we are. I'm on his toll road now. Because whatever you go into this with, that's what you got. Like if I was going on vacation with, you know, my daughter, and I said, meet me at the parking lot, and we'll just put everything in my car, and we'll go, and we get there, and she says, I'll just leave my luggage in my car. I don't need it. No, your luggage goes with you. So when we got married, my luggage came to him and his luggage came to me, and we're together on a toll road. But not all tolls are bad, you know. Tolls are made for upkeep of the road. Did you know that? That's why they take tolls, upkeep of the road. Tolls teach us lessons, right, that we can pass on. I'm passing a lesson on to you now. I've paid the toll. I'm going to direct you a different way. Skip those toll roads when you can, because all that adds up. I forget, whenever we got back from our trip, we had paid a lot of dollars in tolls. And that adds up. I mean, it might just be $1.50 here and $1.50 there, but that adds up. All those tolls add up. So our advice to you, on the day that you're saved, and if you haven't done it, today's a good day to say to God, here's my final destination. Here's where I want to go. I would like to take the least obstructive route you got. But I would also like to experience some things along the way. I would like to experience some of these things I've heard about. This beautiful thing called marriage. This thing of working for God. This thing of, you know, having children. I'd like to experience those things, God. If that works into your plan, I'd really like to do that. But if you can get me there, just in the least problematic way for me possible. Now, we go through trials because that makes us stronger. Ask God to guide you and stop asking, are we there yet?
And take heed to the warning lights, the danger signs, the red flags.
We love and appreciate this young people's group so much. Just, I have an example this morning. As I was walking through the dining hall from eating breakfast or from working breakfast, I said, I'm going to the barn and I need to load up the stuff that we used in the play if anybody can come down and help me. I didn't lift one finger. There were so many boys there to help. I didn't have to do a thing except drive them up in the truck. And it doesn't matter what we ask you guys to do, you do it. And it's amazing. And I appreciate that because that makes old people like Brother Tom and I able to continue to work for God when we can depend on you to help us. And it's a wonderful, wonderful life when you wait and marry the right person because God knows who you need. So stop asking, are we there yet?
So tonight, you've gotten some advice. God's going to take you on the most direct and best route. But where do we run into the detours? We cause those detours many, many times. Why? Because we think, hey, we can make these decisions on our own. And we don't diligently seek God like we should, right? We don't listen to the voice of God like we should. We don't listen to advice and admonition like we should. And so, God's got the best, most direct route planned for us. But God help us all to follow that route that He has planned out for us tonight. And so, I appreciate Brother Tom, Sister Becky coming in tonight, speaking to you. And our prayer is that you are listening. You're taking these things to heart. You're pondering these things because why? Because this, again, I've said it, I think, every night that I've been up here, this is the second most important decision you're going to make in your life.